That's good. And Damien, he's playing our saxophone. We'll have to get him dusted off again and come and play for us. Acts chapter 4. We prayed. Y'all pray. Remember to pray all week for the services. We forgot, as a group of men, we usually get together and pray before the service starts. We didn't do that this morning. I could sure tell. I didn't have the liberty to preach that I did last week. In both services last week, I did have it. I didn't have it this week. It was okay. I got through it, but it's better when it's a different feeling. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Heavenly Father, we thank you for those that are here and our fellowship time, our singing. Lord, we just want to give you some praise and worship you tonight. Lord, help us to be excited about that, Lord, and just in light of all you do for us, done for us, what you're going to do for us, Lord. It's just all a blessing. Help us to focus on that. Lord, speak to us through your word tonight. We know you're still in the saving business. Lord, you're still in the life-changing business. We're thankful for that. Lord, help us to be like you and more like you each day. Love others through us and help us to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The title I have, I don't have, we're behind on all this other stuff. I just told them not to worry about it. You never know where God's going to take us, is like Christ. We see in our text, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John." I'm just kind of using this verse as by way of introduction to the message tonight. They were the Sanhedrin, and they had realized that these men had been with Jesus. I think that's significant, the fact that it doesn't say Peter and John don't say that they're not telling somebody they had been with Jesus, but somebody on the outside, in other words, outside the church or outside of Christianity, somebody else noticed that they had been with Jesus. You know, it's an amazing thing about fellowshipping with Christ, and this is how it works. The more we fellowship with the Lord, and I said this morning some things, you know, you fellowship with the Lord by church, worship at church. Listen, it's not just coming, but there's worship involved, you know, praising God. I mean, you know, we praise with our song. You know, we praise with our appearance, you know, a joyful appearance. We can praise God, you know, in meditation. There's lots of ways in our prayer life we do that. But the more that we fellowship, and we fellowship with Him through the Word of God, you know, in multiple ways, study, meditation, and even through the preaching of the Word. When they had fellowship with the Lord, they had followed Him, they had imitated Him long enough that He had begun to rub off on them. You know, the more, you know how that works, don't you know? You hang around with somebody, they say you are what you eat, and you are like who you hang around with too. You hang around a bunch of bad kids. When I was at school, there was people that you shouldn't hang around with. You hang around with them, you're going to start doing what they do. You hang around good people, you're going to start doing what they do. You hang around the smarter kids, it'll probably make you smarter. And if you hang around with the dumb ones, it'll probably make you dumb. I mean, that's just, you know, you're not going to have any, if you hang around unmotivated people, you're not going to be a motivated person. You know, you have to, sometimes there's time you have to tear yourself away from that. And you get like that. Well, they hung around Jesus long enough that he had begun to affect their life to where other people took note that they had been with Jesus. Man, that's how it's supposed to work today. I mean, when, you know, you get around God's people and you get around the Word of God and you get around the preaching of the Word of God, I'm going to tell you what, if you'll allow it to come into your life, somebody else is going to take note that you've been with Jesus. It's not going to be you. You know, you won't need the bumper sticker on your car. You know, you're going to be kind of like Moses, you know, when he came down from the mount from being up there with the Lord. He didn't know that his face shone. Everybody else saw it. Then they had to put a veil on his face over his head because of it for different reasons. But, you know, they're the ones that noticed it. And so People are going to take note of that, that you've been with Jesus. Who did they, the Sanhedrin, compare them to? They compared these men to Jesus. I mean, they compared them to them. They said, hey, they noticed that they had been like Jesus. So that means, that tells me that they knew something about Jesus. They knew something about how he acted, looked, lived, talked, where we went, you know, types of things. And so it affected their life. And you know, when I started to think about this topic right here, Christ's likeness or being like Christ, you know, and the Bible talks about it, to be Christ-like. It talks about it. Usually when the first thing that pops in somebody's mind when we say, oh, listen, we need to be Christ-like, I think the very first thing that pops in your mind is on the righteousness side of things. You know, we need to be like Christ right off the bat. You're thinking about holiness, righteousness, sinning less. You know, that's what you think about. But there's a whole lot more to Christ's likeness than that. And I was just sitting there and I thought, well, this is what I want to preach on. I was trying to get it all together and I started thinking about this topic and all of a sudden it just like started expanding. I thought, wow, man, you're never going to exhaust this subject. You'll never exhaust the subject of Christ's likeness because you can't exhaust him. I started thinking of all the aspects of being like Christ. You know, when we think about him, there's more than just his holiness or his righteousness. You know, you start thinking about his service, his labor, his sacrifice, his love, his compassion, his care, his power, his faithfulness, his devotion, his passion, his commitment, his attitude. And I know that doesn't exhaust it. You know, I was just writing down stuff that popped in my mind as fast as I could. I mean, and it goes on and on and on and on. You'd never exhaust this topic. I preached for a year every Sunday night on an aspect of being like Christ or some aspect of his character, and I still would never scratch the surface. Some of the topics, like the one I'm going to preach on tonight, I'll never exhaust the one aspect of his life. When you think about the love of Christ, you'll never exhaust that topic. You can preach on it forever and ever. And so I was almost getting discouraged as I was trying to get the message together. I thought, man, it's too big. It's too big. I'm not going to get done. I'm not going to get done with any of it. You know, it's so much to it. But I, you know, figured, well, I'll do something there. You know, with that, we were talking about, part of what I said at the closing of the message this morning was really kind of, wasn't planning on it to, but it was kind of leading into this, what I want to talk about, you know, what's going to go on right here. We had our fellowship breakfast yesterday, and you know, I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago or a month ago. We think about fellowship amongst ourselves. You know, it's just, you know, hey, brother, how you doing? Pat on the back. And that's part of it. I mean, you know, enjoying one another's company. But a lot of the fellowship with the early church, you know, they were talking amongst themselves about Jesus Christ, about what he was doing in their life, how God was using them and how God was moving throughout the area. Brother Harold, he called today. And Brother Harold always does this. He was trying to find out about Don Jones. They got their wires crossed. I don't know. But anyway, he goes, man, how long did you preach today? I said, yeah, I was a little late getting out. But I said, he ought to be where you are by now. But Harold always asks you, he said, man, well, how's it going, brother? And I know he's not talking about my health. You know, not that he wouldn't be concerned. I mean, if I said that. But I just know Harold. I know what he means. How's it going with you, brother, spiritually? How's it going? Man, how's things going with the church? What's going on? He said he went down to the revival one night. I said, well, what's it like getting a room? No problem. He said, you can get a room down there. It's not no problem if you want to go down. I said, great. And he said, I went down there. He said, there's a revival going on in Greenville, Tennessee. He said, man, it's taking off. Stuff's going on. How's it going at the church? I said, it's going good, man. We had a good service last week. You know, had people. I said, I got a bunch of people lined up to baptize now. Got to get them ready. Man, looking good. Feeling good. Feeling encouraged. Amen. Amen. You know, that's what he wanted to talk about. I mean, you know, that's what he wants to hear. Harold wants to hear something, you know. I don't want to be one of them people where he says, hey, brother, how's it going? Oh, brother, let me tell you, man, it's just been all of them people I got. Man, good grief, I mean, you know. Go through the list. I don't want to be one of them. I don't want to go on and, you know, be like that. I told him, I said, well, you know how it is. I said, you know, there's some issues. I said, as always, Satan's always fighting us. But I said, hey, that's always going to be, never going to stop, probably till the Lord comes back. And so, but fellowship, part of it is fellowshiping in the things of the Lord. Man, you ought to be able to talk to somebody about what God's doing in your life. I mean, what God is, you know, what God's doing right now in your life, man, some exciting things. Good grief, man, we get, and I'll talk to you a little bit about ministry and what ministry is. We ought to all have a ministry of some sort, some kind of ministry, man, and get excited about some of the things of God. I mean, besides, you know, the extracurricular stuff. You can get everybody to sign up for that stuff. It's just getting on board with the things of God is, you know, what we ought to be all about if we're going to be, you know, like Christ. But we were talking about this yesterday at the breakfast there, you know, how easy it is to become like cold or dead spiritually or complacent, negligent. And then when that happens, you know, how that affects your faithfulness to God. It affects your faithfulness to the house of God. It affects your faithfulness to prayer and prayer meetings. It affects your faithfulness to, you know, the things like that, things that pertain to God. And so, you know, so we had a little bit of discussion about that. It happens to us. And I summed it all up with what I said this morning. It really has to do, it's a love issue. It's a love issue, which is always related to a spiritual issue, a filling of the Spirit. We fill with the Spirit. A fruit of the Spirit is love, right? That you have a love for God. You have a love for the things of God. You even have a love for your fellow man. I read in one of the first devotion book Harold did, had a guy that had just been up early in the morning. I forgot his name. He had his name there, but I'm just going to have to paraphrase it. But he said, man, I got up early and I just couldn't sleep. And I prayed and I prayed. And he said, while I was praying, he said, I had such a feeling of the Holy Spirit of God that he said that I walked outside and he said, man, my heart was so full of love. He said, I loved everybody. And he said, I was walking down the sidewalk and there was a worm crawling on the sidewalk. He said, I loved that worm right there. He said, I had a love for that worm. I had a love for the birds. I had a love for the caterpillars. I had a love for the dog. Everybody, man, I just had love. That's how it is when there's a filling of the Spirit. And, you know, when we have a love like that, boy, it just cures all the cold, dead, complacent things. It cures the issue. There's nobody that's going to have a love for God like that we should have or could have. And we can. This is a possibility. I'm not telling you about an impossibility. But when we have a love for God like we ought to have, I'm going to tell you what, that's not the person that you got to wonder where they're at. You're not knocking on the door saying, hey, where you been? You know, why don't you come out to the prayer meeting? Why don't you come to the Wednesday night? Why don't you come to this and that? You know, you're dragging them in. When you know, the problem, well, you know, preacher, you know why I haven't been there? Yeah, I know why you haven't been here, because you don't love the Lord like you ought to. It's real simple. I'm not talking about cases where you got to work, you can't get here and all that. I'm just saying when it's cold and dead and indifferent, and then, man, it's a love issue. And like I said this morning, well, what you do is if you don't have it, just confess it and then ask God for it. I mean, ask God, listen, if he'll fill you with his Spirit, the love issue will be, it'll be solved. And because, like I said this morning, love is the greatest motivator that ever was. It's the greatest motivator in the world. And if you're not motivated in the things of God, you're not in love with the Lord. I mean, that's just the way, that's the way it is. You can cut it and slice it, and nobody wants to admit it, but that's the way it is right there. So, and I started thinking about it. You know, we're going to be like Christ. And so to be like Christ, we're going to have to love like Christ. I shared with you how Sammy Fry, he prayed for us one time, and I thought it was an awesome prayer. You know, Lord, love someone through me today. He said, Lord, love through me, somebody else through me. You know, God's got to do it. You know, there's some people, listen, there's some unlovable people out there in the world, right? Amen, huh? There's some unlovable people right there out there in the world, right? Well, there is. I mean, it's true. And it's hard. And the only way you can love them, in our natural state, you know, we can't do it. The only way you can love them is you got to love like Jesus loved, right? Because after all, he did love us, right? He loved us, right? So we could have been, somebody could have said we're unlovable people right there. And so, like I said, this isn't going to scratch the surface. I'll never exhaust this topic by any way, shape, or form. But I just want to, you know, think about if we're going to be like Christ. And, you know, you can't, this is another thing. It's a cycle. Well, we can't love like Christ without Christ. You know, we can't love like Christ without being filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is something that you can't do. You say, well, I got to be like Christ. You can't be like Christ in your own power. Amen. You can't be like Christ in your own power. And so sometimes when I'm saying, well, you know, preacher says I got to be like Christ, I should be like Christ, I need to be like Christ, and boy, we're going to try to, you know, we're going to get strong, and man, I'm going to go out there and love if it kills me, and I'm going to love you if it kills me, and I'm going to, you know, do what Jesus, but you know, that's not what he's not saying work it up in your own strength. Comes back to a filling of the Spirit, right? When you fill with the Spirit of God, you're going to love like Christ. You know, it'll be a natural outflow of the love of God through your life. It's natural. It's not a forced thing. And too often, see, we try to do it. You know, I'm just going to be like Jesus if it kills me. Probably will. You can't do it that way. It has to be because we have a filling of the Spirit. That comes with the closeness of God. Moses got close to the Lord, talked to God. But the Bible says that God himself talked to Moses face to face. He was up on Mount Sinai, and when he came back down, his face shone. He had been so close. They took note he had been with God too, right? These men here had been with Jesus day in, day out, ate with him, prayed with him. Were they perfect? No, they weren't. But they were close with God. They were close with the Lord. And I mean, what, you know what? The other men took note that they had been with Jesus. And so the same thing happens to us. The more we're in the Word of God, the more we're in the church of God, and we're involved with God, it's going to affect our life. And so, you know, when you think about everything that Jesus did, I'm going to tell you, we think about this first. We think, well, you know, we know that Jesus died and he went to the cross. And we say, well, we know what? He went to the cross because he loved me. Well, he did love us. You know, he loved us. That's why he went. But I'm going to tell you another reason why he went to the cross, because he loved God the Father. Everything, what's our sole purpose in life? Our sole purpose in life is to glorify God. What do you think Jesus Christ and his humanity was his sole purpose of being on the earth? Glorify God. The resurrection was to glorify God. The die on the cross to save us was to glorify God. To build his church is to glorify God. When we win other people to Christ, it's not to make our church look good. It's not to make us look good, put another notch in our gun. It's to glorify God. And so not only did Jesus, the Son, in his humanity, love us, but he loved the Father. He came to the earth. He went to the cross. He suffered and died because he loved God the Father first. And so he brought honor and glory to him. He said his will was to do the will of the Father. That was what his whole will was, to do what the will of the Father was. So he loved God. See, that's what kept him doing, what God would have him to do. And so, as I said, if we're going to love like Christ, we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to love God. We're going to love others. And I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes in a little bit more in depth. We're going to love his church. We're going to love the Word of God. It's a whole love issue. Listen, whatever you love, that's what you're going to do. That's just the way it is. And, you know, you preach it and preach it and preach it, right? Said this morning, I said in the morning service, 74 people here last night, big old crowd. Okay, look at us tonight. Where's that? Don't you believe there's people that could be here that's not here? Absolutely. And if they really love God and the house of God and the Word of God, like they said, I mean, the ones that, you know, I mean, they're not dying in an emergency room or in a wreck or, you know, I'm just talking about people sitting at home. If they really love God like they want, like they should, they'd be right here and amongst us. 4,500 people down there Friday night at the revival. 4,500 down there, right? They loving something. I mean, there's something going on there, right? They getting them down there every night. And so here it is. Jesus' whole life was a ministry because he loved God the Father. He loved God. He loved the Father, and he loved people. Now we think about ministry, our ministry. What about us? If we're going to be like Christ, if Jesus' whole life was a ministry, and then we're going to be like Christ, and we'd have to say, we have a ministry. What's your ministry? What is it? Well, it is, but how are you fulfilling it? I mean, in a practical way, what's your ministry? I mean, you know, a lot of times this is what happens, Christian. We hit and miss. You know, kind of, well, you know, I talked to somebody about Jesus today. 6 months later, I talked to somebody about Jesus today. Well, what happened in between? You know, I mean, what is our ministry? And this is the way it goes at church a lot of times. You know, you're always scratching, especially a small church. You're always trying to get people. And I remember, I'll never forget this. And it was good, but it's not the best. But sometimes you say, well, preacher, you know, if nobody else will do it, then I'll do it. That's not a ministry. That's a job. Got a whole list of things that go along that. Like, some people have a job in a church and some people have a ministry, and here's the difference. If you do it because no one else will do it, it's a job. If you do it to serve the Lord, it's a ministry. If you do it to, if you do just enough to get by, it's a job. If you do it to the best of your ability, it's a ministry. If you do it so long as it doesn't interfere with your other activities, it's a job. If you're committed to it, even if it means you have to let go of some other things, it's a ministry. If you quit because no one thanked or praised you, it's a job. If you stay with it even though no one seems to notice, it's a ministry. If your concern is success, it's a job. If your concern is faithfulness, it's a ministry. See, it's hard to get excited about a job. It's almost impossible not to get excited about a ministry. I mean, that's just, you know, I mean, when you really get fired up and get excited about something that what you're doing for the Lord. And listen, the devil tries to get us thinking, you know, the wrong way. He'll get us thinking the wrong way. I'll tell you what's going to happen to you, Ralph. One day you're going to be out there weed eating about July, sweating, man, aggravated. Says, man, I'm out of here, man. Ain't nobody. There goes a preacher riding down the road blowing a horn. He ain't coming in. Everybody goes another church member up there. How come them other people ain't out here helping me? Why do I got to be out here doing this? Man, I'm telling you, I'm sick and tired of doing this. It just went from a ministry to a job. You got, you know, see what I'm saying? Huh? I know, because I done been right there riding on a lawnmower. I'm riding in the back thinking, man, I'm the only preacher in the whole cotton picking world mowing his grass. You know, got to mow his own grass. I bet Kevin Cummins ain't over at Fincastle Baptist mowing his grass. I bet he got somebody else doing it over there. And I got to ride around out here like a slave mowing the grass. Huh? And then I got out there one day. I was all the way in the back and I was staring up at the back of the building. This is a good one. Seen a big old piece of the trim that done fell off. I got to go up there and fix that. Because ain't nobody else noticed it. And then I said, well, you know, are you doing it because why do you do all this stuff? Why do you want the grass mowed? Why don't you just go ahead and throw the towel in and let it grow up? Nah, because I want it to look good for God. I said, you know what I'm doing? You doing it for who you doing this for? Doing it for God? Oh, my. Man, I come up by the time I got mowing right through here. I had a grin on my. I said, yeah, I'm doing it for God. I felt so much better. Okay, that's all right. Go on down the road. I got it. Huh? Mowing. Felt good, man. Did it for God, right? And see, reason I let you mow, Ralph, is I want you to, you know, to get the blessing, bro. Yeah, James too. Huh? Here's the thing right here. Colossians 3, 23 and 24 says this. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Now, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not as unto men. You know, one of the things right here, and I was trying to say a while ago, is worship is the key. Worship is the key. If you try to work for God without worship, it results in joyless legalism. Work minus worship magnifies your will and not God's power. Listen, man, I mean worshiping God. We got to really think about that. When we get ready to sing, I was saying this is a little side part of the message here. When we sing, man, we ought to be just belting it out. Belt it out, man. You're worshiping God, God Almighty, right? I mean, it ought to be so loud in here that people going down the road out there know something going on, roof kind of bumping up and down off the top of the building, huh? I mean, we ought to be excited about worshiping God and, you know, praising the Lord, man. We got a lot to be thankful for. Praise God for what He does for us there, and that's the key to it all. It's not the place of service that gives significance, but the person we serve. That's it. It's not the place. It's not what you do. Huh? You in there, Diana's in there, she cleans, man, she's in there in an old bathroom with a plunger or scrubbing the toilet. It's not what you're doing, it's who you serve. God's church, right? It's God's business. It don't matter what we do. I'm telling you what, you walking down the sidewalk and there's a little piece of trash in the grass, reach down there and get that, man, you're serving God, making it look good. Huh? Making it look good, pick it up. Whatever you do, man, whatever you do, and making the, you know, that's, it's not the place. Some position, it's the person that we serve. That's key right there. So love for God, love for the church. You know, here's the thing. The church is people. Sometimes because we use that term, ekklesia is the Greek, means the called out assembly. It's not the building. I mean, if we got up here one day and a tornado done come and the whole building is gone, we're still a church. You know, we'll huddle up somewhere else at the funeral home. That'd be appropriate. Wherever we'd have to rent out, whatever we got to do, we would find a place to meet. We're the church. You know, the people are the church. It's not a static thing. You know, it's something that's, you know, we're living in an organism there. And we were talking about this yesterday too. And I mean, there's a lot of things that contribute to it right now, but social media is kind of a bane in a way in this area right here. You know, we get everybody's information. We already know. We don't have to call and check on you because we done got a text by it about it, see? And so what it is, we know about, yeah, well, so-and-so's sick, man, we need to pray for him. And we say that. I tell you what, me and Sherry, we talked about this today. David and Cheryl, we waited after church, and they said, hey, man, we need something for you. We need you to pray about something. And told us what it was. And we said, oh, yeah, man, yeah. You know what we did? All right, man, we'll do it. Why didn't we pray with them right then? What a moron. I tell you what, I get home sometime, my brain gets in gear. I'm thinking, why didn't I just stop and pray with them right then? I should have prayed with them. I said, well, I was hoping they was going to come back tonight. I said, I'm going to get them tonight. I won't let them get out of here. But we did pray for them. So we stopped, and what we were doing, we prayed at home there with that. But here's the thing. This is what I told the men. We are a church. We're supposed to be a body, and we're supposed to be a family, but we operate and act like a lot of times individual Christians. Saved, no doubt. You know, we're saved. You're saved, you're saved, you're saved. And we're all operating in our own little world right there, right? We're not operating like the body of Christ. And I'm not saying that not everybody's doing it all the time. I mean, there's people that are doing some things a lot of times, and I understand it. I'm just saying generally, we get things that come up. We got so many things going on, how we're supposed to, you know, care for one another and take care of one. Mark, Jerry's been down here, had his accident a month ago. How many of us are calling Marge up to see what she needs? How many of us are doing that? David Wall been down there at the hospital with little Daniel since last Wednesday. How many people have called David Wall and said, hey, how's it going with you, man? You know, you all right? You need anything? Anything I can do for you? You know, what's going on there? At least call him up. A word of encouragement. Brian has saying about his boss said he just called him up, knew he had something going on with him. And that man said, hey, boy, you don't know how much that means. Well, that's the same with everybody else. I mean, we got our own agenda. We get so busy. We got this going on. Well, we're busy. And we're not take time out to, check on the needs of other people because it'll interfere with what we got going on if we got to stop and do something else. And like I say, it's not everybody all the time. I know that there's people that do things and help out in this net, but we're kind of sporadic a lot of times. We're hit and missing. And you know, it should be, when you really think about it, as a church, and this is what we think. Well, somebody's got a need. Well, somebody else will take care of it. You know, and you can name off this person's going to do it. You know, really the way it ought to be, and I know this would drive everybody nuts probably, and Ms. Markham kind of made a comment about, they said it had a little note there about how that was going to work there. But you know what? When somebody's got a burden, somebody's got a need, about everybody in the church ought to be calling them up and checking on them and seeing what, I mean, just about it should be everybody's burden, right? Everybody's burden. Now, if we're slick and we get organized, that's good. We're taking care of things and, you know, do that. But what I'm just saying is we and there's other areas. It's not just these physical things. Because if we're going to do it, that's the area we do it in. What about when we see somebody struggling spiritually? You know, you see that, right? See somebody, you know, all of a sudden they're missing. They starting to lay out, backslide, maybe whatever. You know, what about, hey, brother, how's it going, man? You know, just noticed I hadn't seen you around a lot, man. Everything all right? You going all right spiritually, man? I mean, can I pray with you? What's the need? What about that? I mean, that's something that Jesus would have done, something that he would do. What about maybe somebody that's even struggling and maybe they've even gotten into a sin and you know, maybe you see them, you know. What about, saying, going to them, say, hey, man, listen, this looks like, you know, you're really struggling here. I've seen you or I know something or I've heard or whatever the case may be, you know, man, what? It's just, you know, really not being like Christ. What seems to be the problem, you know? And help them. Can I help you, man? Let me pray with you. You're struggling with some kind of something, you know, whatever it may be. But a lot of times, too often in today's world, this is what happens. You know, Christians are out there. They see Christians getting in sin. Nobody confronts anybody about that. And I don't mean confront them in a bad, mad way. You know, like going up there and giving them uptown and preaching from, you know, Genesis to Revelation. I'm just talking about going in with love and saying, man, brother, what are you doing? You know, you're hurting your testimony. You're quenching the spirit. Man, let me help you. You know, you're hurting the church, whatever. You know, we don't want to do that, see, because it gets us what happens. We get out of our comfort zone, and Lord knows we're not going to do that for Jesus. We're not going to get out of our comfort zone because we get uncomfortable getting out of our comfort zone. You know, don't we? I mean, we don't want to do that. And we'll shake our heads and we'll feel sorry and maybe say something like with Nehemiah, we talked about the wall there, how everybody had to see that old wall broke down. Everybody thought somebody ought to do something about it, but nobody did nothing about it until Nehemiah came along and then he got him going. And we even maybe even pray for him, and praying for him is good, but sometimes we need to be more involved in that. Jesus didn't just sit back. He could have stayed in heaven and prayed for everybody, right? I mean, he just didn't sit back and pray. I mean, he went to people, man. He went to their needs. I mean, man, he could have met every need just like that with a word. But no, he went to them personally and he dealt with them, the people that had issues, the demon possessed and the lame and the sick. And I mean, he could do it. And he took care of needs, even people that were hungry, those type things. But the problem with us as Christians today, see, is we don't want to commit. We don't want to get involved. We don't want to deal with the pressure that we might feel on ourselves. We get out of our comfort zone or take the time or get out of our routine, all those type of things. We think that just prayer is going to be the answer to it all, and we might take the time to pray, but it's really not a burden prayer. It's really not a fervent prayer. It's not a broken-hearted prayer. I prayed with somebody today, man, they shed some tears, and they apologized for crying. I said, man, don't you apologize for that. I said, that's what's wrong with us now is because we don't get down here and get burdened, man. Got your kids lost on their way to hell and you can't hit the altar with a tear in your eye and pray for your kids. Got church members that are out there in the world drifting out. We can't get down to the altar and shed a tear for them and have a burden and a broken heart about the condition. Come to church on Wednesday night, man, and the crickets make more noise than we do. Come on Sunday night and it's echo going on in here because nobody will fill the seats up and we got no burden about it. We're all coking and joking and laughing, and what time we going to meet for the golf tournament tomorrow? We can't get down here and pray about the people that are lost in our midst. Got a prayer meeting, man, we can drive right by the thing, man, when your kids is off out there in the world, man, drugs, dope, alcohol, out of church, lost, man, we got no burden about that. I said, man, listen, don't you apologize for tears, man. We need some more of them down there at the altar. We get down there at the altar crying about the shape that the church is in, crying about the condition of our nation, crying about the condition of our family. I tell you what, we'd hear from God if that would be the case. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all still awake, right? Okay. I'm just saying, but we don't want to do that. You know, the Bible tells us we are our brother's keeper. It's our responsibility. There's sometimes, though, there's something needed more than prayer. There are times when we need encouragement, and people need to know that we care about them. Listen, I can pray for your problem all day long, but I'm going to tell you what, if I don't call you up and see how it's going, you won't know it. Huh? You don't know when I'm praying for you. You don't know that unless I call you up and show you some concern. So there's more sometimes. So Pastor Woodard used to say, my pastor, you got to put feet on the prayer. You got to do something with it. And, sometimes, you know what we need more than anything is we need to be confronted with the deal. We need to be confronted with it and say, hey, man, listen, I want to help you out here, brother, but what you're doing is not right. You know, we got to get things, and like I say, got to do it in love. We need that. And there's, when you look in the Bible, there's, I might have preached a message on this one time. I was kind of thinking about it when I got this point together. There's a bunch of things called, there's one another, a bunch of one another verses in the Bible about loving one another and that type of thing that is talking about from the Christian point of view to the other Christians, you know, the people in your church. And, you know, our focus is not to be on programs or projects, but our focus as a church is to be on people because that's what the church is. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. So we have to prefer one another. We have to honor one another. You know what that means? You put other people first. That means your agenda's got to go on the back burner at times, you know, to get to help somebody else, to be kindly affectioned. That's a real affectionate verse right there. Romans 15:7 says, wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. You know what that means? Receive ye one another. That means to accept each other. I got news for you, man. Everybody's not like you. Everybody's not punched out of a cookie cutter just like that. We all got our little idiosyncrasies that we have to deal with. And sometimes we have a standard that we have set up. And if somebody doesn't come up to that standard, then, you know, they're just not where they need to be. Well, we're not the one that sets the standard, by the way. You know, because if Jesus is the one that set the standard, and we all are falling a little short right there on that standard. And so, listen, don't set up some little a place up there higher than it ought to be for somebody else that you think they need to meet that before everything's going to be okay. You know, everybody's not going to be like you no matter what. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says to encourage one another. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify or build up one another, even as also ye do. And so, you know, we're to comfort and we're to build one another up, encourage people, man. We need, everybody needs encouragement. You never know what somebody's going through in life. 1 Peter 4:9 says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Hospitality, I mean, you know, and that's just, you know, reaching out, inviting people, being hospitable. I mean, that's something that we should do. 1 Corinthians 12:25 tells us to care for one another. Care for one another. Meet needs there. Ephesians 4:2, be long-suffering and forbear one another in love. Listen, man, that's like, you know, like I say, not having an expectation that somebody might not be able to meet. We're supposed to do that. You know, like I said, fellowshipping is, it's more than talking about football and golf, but it's how are things spiritually. John 13:34-35 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. This is a commandment now, not a suggestion, by the way. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Our original text, what did it say? It said that them, that the Sanhedrin, they took note. They noticed that these men had been with Jesus. Well, what did they notice? What do you think they noticed? I believe their speech was different. I believe their actions were different. But I believe they saw love like they didn't see in everyday people in those days. I believe they saw love one for another, their care one for another. I believe it just stuck out. It'll stick out in the world we're living in today. They said, all men will know if you have love one to another. That's something that you know. Philippians 2:2-4. Look what it says here. He says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I mean, so that there's a whole verse on concern, love for one another. And Paul said this would fulfill his joy, that this would cause him to have joy if we do that. So we see a love there for God and a love for the church. And then we have love for the lost, you know, having a concern for the lost. It seems like we have a concern for everything but that. The Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to tell other people about Jesus. Man, I'm telling you, you know, what's your plan for that? You know, what's your strategy for telling somebody? Everybody knows somebody lost? Huh? Everybody knows somebody's lost? What's your strategy to tell them about Jesus? Just hope that God swings the door open, smacks you right between the eyes and don't knock you out. You know, or you think that they're just going to walk in one day. This has happened. Just going to walk in and say, hey, come here a minute. I'm going to sit down with you. I want you to tell me about Jesus. Huh? You think that don't always happen, right? It's good when it does. Huh? It's good when it does. That's how Billy Heartless, that was he just called me up. Hey, man, I need to come over and talk to you. I said, come on over. He came over. He said, I need to get saved. That don't happen every day, though. I mean, there's other people out there, they don't know anything about Jesus. They don't even know that they're supposed to get saved. They don't know nothing about salvation. What's your plan for telling somebody about Jesus? I like old Glendy Hamilton's plan, man. Just talk to somebody. Go in there. God sent me to you. That's a good one. God sent me to you. They don't know what to say, man. You already got them reeling backwards, man. Listen, God sent me here to talk to you today. That's a good one. Yeah, this is what he wanted me to tell you. I mean, man, that guy led somebody to the Lord at the time. This was 5-6 years ago. He led somebody to the Lord every single day for 7 years. Every single day. Now, maybe everybody's profession wasn't a reality, but somebody made a profession every single day for 7 years. He's way ahead of us. Huh? Way ahead of us. You know how he did it? Just try it. Just try it. Went to the convenience store, getting a Twinkie, 4 a.m. Hey, you know Jesus? Let me tell you about it. What do they, you know, what did they say? I don't want to hear. Okay. Let me have my Twinkie. I'll go. Huh? Yeah. Kyle's telling me today we had a birthday party there for Charlie. Had some people there, some other people we didn't know. And Kyle said, well, hey, I'm going to pray before we eat. We had pizzas and all that. Kyle asked me today, he said, you see that lady walk out when I was getting ready to pray? I said, yeah, I did kind of notice somebody going there. He said, yeah, I found out she was an atheist. But that's all right. I mean, that's all right. You know what? We're going to promote Jesus Christ. Somebody don't want to hear it. That's not our problem. That's not our problem. She'll answer for that one day if she don't get saved. She's saying, you know, God will point that out. She'll answer for that. Fulfill the Great Commission. What's your plan to fulfill the Great Commission? Jesus' love, it was a sacrificial love. Because, you know, he did have a concern for people that were lost. He died for the lost, which also includes you and I. Thank God, man. Thank God somebody, when I got saved, somebody just, you know how I got saved? Because somebody just came to the house and knocked on the door and said, hey, how you doing? And I don't even remember how we got started, you know, talked to you about, you know, you going to church, no, you believe, you know, and just went. And somebody showed me that I needed to ask Jesus for forgiveness of my sins. That's how I got saved. So, I mean, you know, somebody just, thank God somebody did that. They had a concern for the lost. That's all he wants us to do is go out and tell somebody. He didn't even have to say he had to win anybody. Moses preached for 120 years, only 7 other people got saved. He didn't say you had to get them, want to win them, but you had to tell them. Be like Christ. Never exhaust the subject. If we know him, we're going to love him. If we love him, we're going to love others, and we're going to love his church, man. It's the issue. But the only way you can love like Christ is be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, how does that happen? Pray, preach, look at the Word, ask. Ask and you shall receive. Ask and you shall receive. Ask God himself. Let's all stand heads bowed, eyes closed. God spoke to your heart.